I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, hey. How are you? I hope you had a good weekend. I feel like we're talking on the phone now. I'm staring into the corner in the super secret home base. The paint is green, as some of you have seen. There are some cards hanging. Believe it or not, these are the only things I have hanging left on my walls in my current house. And so everything else has been taken down, all the pictures, all the paintings, all the, you know, fun little artwork that I have. The only thing left hanging up on the walls are the half dozen cards that I have staring at me from the corner of the After Hours super secret home base, because I figured I've got to do the show from this location for two more weeks, so I might as well leave the cards up for now. And you all told me I needed decorations in here, so I got it. Whew, what a weekend. What a weekend. It was a weekend of seeing a lot of various places around the country reopen in stages and in phases, following the shutdowns and the lockdowns for coronavirus. And it was a weekend of disturbing and painful and scary and frightening images around our country. Honestly, if you would have asked me what would replace COVID-19 and its effects on the front pages of every website, on the top line, the top headlines of every newspaper, on the topics that are trending socially, social media, I wouldn't have anticipated that it would be what we've seen in our country over the weekend and really over the last three, four days. Like many of you, and this is coming from my own family and friends, as well as those of you who post on social media, have posted on our pages or sent me personal tweets, the unrest, the anger, the frustration, the violence, the discussion in some cases, the debate, the way that the protests continue to the danger of some who are protesting and the danger of some who are there covering the protest, to the way the looting and rioting has played out across our country. I'm in the same boat. It's sad. It's heartbreaking. It's scary. I've had friends who've been displaced from their homes in places like Minneapolis. Other friends who have watched these events unfold from their home, so out the windows. Thankfully, they're safe, but not everyone is. And not every business has been left unscathed. And it's just surreal in many ways to think about how we've spent the last 10 weeks talking about the virus and the dangers of the virus and the people who've died and the impact it has on our business, which is sports. And then abruptly 10 weeks in, or 11 weeks, it's getting pretty close to 3 months now, but depending on your perspective, 10 or 11 weeks in, there's such a drastic shift. And I'm not saying coronavirus doesn't matter or the impacts of the virus don't matter, but they've been cast to the wayside in many places because of the more pressing debates and issues and now a different type of unrest that is pervasive across the United States. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're actually wrapping up 10 weeks from home tonight. So this is my, as I think back, it was a Sunday night to a Monday morning that was my last show from our CBS Sports Radio headquarters. And I knew it was going to be my last show because my boss said, I'll give you one more chance to go in, grab your stuff, talk to the engineers, make sure you're set up to be working from home. And we had no idea how long it would be or how long it would take. And there's a chance it could stretch through into the time when I'm at my new house and I'm trying to think about hosting the show from a closet. But this is 10 weeks tonight, the last time that I was at CBS Sports Radio headquarters, and I actually did see New York City for the first time in 10 weeks on Thursday when I went to the airport to pick up a friend who's staying with me. And so I hadn't even seen the city skyline or seen the city or the Hudson River even in 10 weeks. I just haven't been out. I've been home. I've been working on closing on the house that I purchased. And like many people, there's been no place to go really. And so it's almost surreal to see the city from afar, from across the river on Thursday night and to know for sure it's still there. It's amazing that it's been 10 weeks. And as I say, I could never have anticipated, not that I really gave it much thought, but I never could have anticipated that it would be this weekend and its events that would replace and supplant coronavirus as the number one story in the United States. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. You can also find our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We're going to get into the Major League Baseball Union's proposal. It's a counter proposal and it's leaking. So leaking, we love that word, right? Leaky ceiling. This is leaky news. And it's a little bit ironic that the players were so ticked that the owners were leaking their version of the proposal to kind of get the public on their side, or at least to get out in front of the news and the storylines. And now, of course, you've got the players' side. Now, I guess I shouldn't say definitively that it came from them. It could have come from the owners, but either way, it's now their proposal is now out there too, according to sources. So we will get into it coming up, you know, in a couple of minutes. And we're also going to welcome Mark Topkin from Tampa, who covers the Rays, and Blake Snell, who is the newest member of the After Hours Hall of Fame. So we'll hear from him next hour and we'll get the latest kind of the feel. There's been, again, no official response from the owners. And in fact, it's only sources that are kind of giving us the various pieces of the union's proposal. But we'll go over them as reported by a couple of different sources out there, baseball insiders. And we can kind of look at the options, because honestly, they're going to have to find some middle ground. The union proposal or counter proposal to the owners is nowhere near what the owners have come up with. There's no compromise. It's complete opposite end of the spectrum. I think my favorite part is that it would require baseball to start at the end of June, which means we're going to get something this week, right? We have to get something this week if the players are going to see, you know, their return to essentially spring training and then a start of games at the end of June. But their idea is to start games as soon as possible because they want to get paid more money, but at the prorated salaries. So again, there's been no give. There's been no compromise of any sort, at least according to what's been reported. And so right now we don't have any common ground, but we'll get to it. I promise. And we'll put a question out there for the show again on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or After Hours CBS, our show Twitter. Yeah, that too. Our show Twitter, where we put up our polls and we share photos and videos and we often have some of the ties between what we're talking about and what's been posted on the internet. And then on our Facebook page too. Really quickly, I just want to say thank you for all of your kind words. I really didn't spend a lot of time on social media over the weekend because it hurts. It hurts and it's hard and it's painful. And while I have to do it for work and I have to be informed and I have to know what's going on, this weekend I had to move as well. And there's some other things going on in my personal life. We all have things going on in our personal lives and family stuff. And so I took a break from it, but I did. When I got off the air on Friday morning, post a photo. Well, it's a snap photo. That's not really a photo, right? It's a snap filter. But I do love snap filters. And so I posted a photo with the microphone. And just a thank you to you who have been with us for the last 10 weeks and how much it means to me that you have offered your support. You've continued to listen, even though, let's be honest, there's no games to talk about. There's sports news to talk about. There's no games to talk about. And we've kind of doing it. We've been kind of doing it night by night, day by day. Chris and Dave continue to go into headquarters every other night, and they've worked really hard, and we're doing the best we can. It's not a show necessarily that resembles what we normally be doing this time of the year, but we're taking it one show and one day at a time. And so I appreciate that so many of you responded, and your support and encouragement has meant the world to me. I mean that with all sincerity, as genuine as I can be. I know we don't know each other personally, but you all have taken upon yourselves to stick with us and to offer your support. And there are times when that is the only thing that makes me want to go on the air. And I'll just be honest, this is one of those nights. Now, I can separate my head and my heart. I have to. There's no other way to do this job without being able to separate the two. But you all know me if you listen on a regular basis, and you know that I'm an emotional girl. And there are times when I've cried on the air. There are times when, when I've spoken about things that are hard and difficult, and there's no way for me to keep my emotions out of it. And as I said when we started on Friday morning, well, I guess it was Thursday night into Friday morning show, so our last show to end the last week, there are times when I have to completely block out of my brain the tragic, the painful, the scary, the awful, the disturbing, the devastating, the heartbreaking. I have to, because I can't do a show otherwise. And so I always run the risk when I share my emotions with you that I'm not going to be able to get back on track. So that's kind of the deal. Once I open the floodgates a little bit, you think, okay, we'll let a little water through the dam. And then sometimes it threatens to knock me over. So I can't always control my emotions when I acknowledge them, but I do want to, again, to start the show. I struggle in these times because sports don't matter. The people matter. The people who play sports, the people who watch sports, the people who work in the sports industry, people matter. Games don't matter. Entertainment doesn't matter at these times in our lives. And I don't talk about sports because I think they're important. You'll never hear me say my job is important, ever. This is entertainment. The job itself, what we do for a living, is not important. I worked in news before I made the jump to full-time sports. I often say I worked in news to support my sports habit, which is so true. But I learned so much about reporting and journalism and objectivity and telling stories, and I wouldn't change that. In the very last news story, massive news story I covered before I made the jump to full-time sports was 9/11. And I remember being so grateful in the aftermath, so weeks, months down the road, that I had the chance to be part of that event in a way that I was trained to be part of it, right? In a way that my journalistic instincts kicked in. I did what I could, which was to talk to people, to tell them what was happening. I would have hated if I was doing something else and couldn't do what I was trained to do in a moment like that for our nation. So now I have a different job. Now I have a job where I talk about sports. We, as a show group, cover sports for our jobs for a living. So I hope you understand that I don't talk about sports because I think they're the most important topic. I get these tweets and Facebook posts. How can you talk about sports in a time like this? Well, it's my job. I have to. I'm proud to do my job. I'm proud of the job I have. Does it mean I don't care about what else is happening in our nation? Hell no. It doesn't mean any of that. I don't talk about sports because I think they matter more than anything else. We don't do what we do because we think it's the most important thing going. We do it because this is what we're hired to do. And because we're professionals, and this is what I have to do. There have been times when I've gone on the air following mass shootings or incredible tragedies. I had to do shows during the course of Hurricane Harvey. Now, was I in the middle of the hurricane? No, but my mom was, and she had 54 inches of water that came down at her home, and the place where she lived was underwater. And so, whether it's personal or whether it's on a national scale, I've managed to host shows because it's my job. We as a group have managed to find ways to put shows together because it's our jobs. And I do it proudly. I'm with you. I feel the pain, the angst, the frustration. I feel the heartbreak of what we're seeing in our nation. I refuse to brand all people groups in, you know, with one category and one stereotype. So for those of you who listen, you know that I support our law enforcement. I'm grateful to them. To say that all law enforcement is racist is ridiculous. To say that all law enforcement are prejudiced is ridiculous. Most of them are out there doing incredible jobs and putting their lives on the line to protect people that they don't agree with, to protect freedoms, because that's what we do. And the videos and photos this weekend of law enforcement laying down their weapons or laying down their batons and walking with protesters, or, you know, protecting protesters by putting their physical bodies in the way, that means so much to me. And then on the flip side, protesters, regardless of skin color, locking arms and protecting a police officer who got separated from his unit to make sure he didn't get attacked and didn't get mobbed. There's hope everywhere you look. There is. It's hard to find sometimes. It's bleak out there. Not all law enforcement is racist, just like not all Muslims are terrorists. I mean, you cannot brand an entire people group or an entire job based on a few people, a minority who are evil and criminal and racist and who have committed the most atrocious of crimes. Not all protesters are looters. Not all protesters are rioters. And so I hate the danger of grouping every people group under one adjective or adverb or one stereotype, because it's not true. We're all different. Here's what I know. We all have hearts. They don't all beat the same way, but we all have hearts. And while I wish we lived in a nation where skin color didn't matter, that's just not realistic, right? I say this all the time. Racism, prejudice, discrimination will exist on this earth until Jesus comes back. We're a fallen nation. We're a fallen world. We're not perfect. We will never be perfect. But it's the rays of hope that I see, that I hear, that encourage me, that the lights have not completely gone out, and that all hope is not lost. And so again, I'll say it, we as people can make differences. We as people can spread light and hope where we are, and love. We can love the people around us. We can't love the entire world. It's not possible. But we can love the people around us, and we can make a difference in the people that are around us. And this is how I do it. I make a difference because I do a job that is important to me and that I'm proud of. We make a difference because we continue to offer what you want, which is sports and distractions. And we do it with passion. We do it with compassion. We do it not because it's important or because it matters the most, but because we're asked to and we're hired to do this. And so I know many of you are with us. I know some of you are not. There are other radio shows out there. There are other TV shows out there that will offer you what you're looking for if it's not what we do. But if you're with us, we're so grateful for that. And I just want to say again, thank you to Chris and Dave because they're with me. I know that they are. And on that note, we will go ahead and host the show. And we look forward to hearing from you again on Twitter, on Facebook, also our phone number. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Not encouraging words from former big league third baseman Will Middlebrooks, who now does some work on CBS Sports HQ. Now, that was last week, and there has been some movement, but I don't know if we can say that the mountain has gone to Muhammad or that Muhammad has made his way to the mountain just yet. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thank you again so much for joining us and for being part of the show. I've got some funny stories in the weekend. I'm not kidding you. The Amazon mystery packages continue, and now I know that it's not for my birthday. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. These are challenging times, and Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact the team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. And it's toll free on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or our show Twitter, and then also on our Facebook page, which is easy to find. It is named after the show. So Major League Baseball was waiting on the union to counterpropose. And according to multiple sources, all right, so the major networks out there, the different insiders, they are reporting the similar pieces of this proposal. So I'm confident that it's something along these lines. Not confident that a deal is going to get done, but at least confident that we are relatively informed. And this is just happening in the last few hours. So we've got the latest. The union's proposal to return to the baseball diamond would be 114 games instead of the 82 that the owners have proposed. Okay, so there's one major difference. 114 game season is what the union is proposing. Other pieces that are really important to the union. Any player who is considered high risk in terms of health, again, for the possible exposure to the virus, despite all the testing and all the health and safety protocols, there is still a chance that someone in the baseball community will get the virus. And so they're going to do all they can to prevent spread. But there is a whole portion of our United States population that is considered higher risk, not because of age or because of pre-existing health conditions. So baseball's union wants players to be allowed to opt out of the season altogether in 2020 if they're high risk. Oh, I don't know who determines that. If it's a doctor, who would determine that? If it's the player himself who believes he's high risk. But whatever the terminology means, players who are high risk would have the option of opting out and not playing, but still getting paid during the season. Here's another opt-out clause from the union's proposal to Major League Baseball owners. If there is a canceled postseason, so meaning the owners and the players would maybe get through some of the regular season, and they would play, let's just say they play 60 games, arbitrary number, but there happens to be either an outbreak among baseball, or let's say, I mean, some believe there will be a flare-up of the virus in the fall. It's a prediction. I have no idea if it will be true or not, but the possibility exists, right? So the other opt-out, quote-unquote, would be that salaries for baseball players would be deferred if the playoffs are canceled. So the owners would have the option of not paying players if the postseason is canceled. I don't know if that means for the rest of the regular season games as well or just the playoffs, but there is an option there. Almost like a, hey, the union's throwing the owners a bone. You don't have to pay us. You can opt out of paying us until at a later date if the postseason is canceled. Baseball players want to return at the end of June. 114 games, because remember, they want prorated salaries. They believe they've already taken what is a pay cut, in their opinion. The owners don't see it that way. They see it as you're getting paid for games you're playing, not for games you aren't playing. But the union believes they've already taken a pay cut, and that if you're going to pay us only for the games we play, well, let's get back on the field immediately, if not sooner. So their schedule would run from June 30th to Halloween. Regular season, 114 games, as opposed to the 82 games that owners have proposed. Now, here's something interesting about it. Owners believe the more games they play, the more money they lose. Isn't that weird? It's something completely different for us to wrap our brains around, right? Because owners are looking at a schedule and a bunch of games that feature no fans, and could feature no fans all the way through the regular season and playoffs. Now, again, I don't know if that's realistic. I don't know if it happens. In Texas, they're inviting fans back for games that are played outdoors up to 25% capacity. We could see more governors and more regions of the country open up for limited capacity. So there would be some revenue coming in from people who buy tickets. But baseball owners believe if you add more games to the schedule, they lose more money. So they believe with every game that happens, they're losing money, which means they don't want to play 114 games. Isn't that weird? That is just weird. Baseball can come back and be the first team sport, major team sport to return. But baseball owners believe the more games they play, the more money they lose. And less players are willing to take pay cuts, which right now they are not willing to do. And so at least at this point, it still feels like a stalemate. In fact, it feels like the players' union, as opposed to compromising, has done a 180 and run the other direction. Owners are not expected to agree to the counter proposal. There's a shocker. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. What do you think? Which proposal do you like better? There are some other pieces to it, similar to what you might see in Congress, where there's a bill that's proposed, a package that's proposed, and some of the pieces of it have nothing to do with what's actually on the table or the main topic. It's like the two sides are trying to get other pieces in there that just so they can get the other side to agree, even though those things have nothing to do with what they're talking about at the time. So it's odd. We'll get some reaction from John Heyman, who covers Major League Baseball for MLB Network. We've got Mark Topkin from Tampa at the top of the hour, so we'll get some reaction there too. But I'd love to hear from you on Twitter, on Facebook, or on the phones. And Peter Schwartz is broadcasting from his own super secret location, and it's always good to talk to Pete. Pete, how was your weekend?
Very well. How about you?
Well, it was moving. It was the first of four moving Saturdays. So, but I did pack up all my books. And
congratulations, by the way.
Oh, thank you. The shelves are pretty empty. The closets are relatively empty. All the stuff is down off the walls except for a few decorations in my corner where I broadcast the show from, because I thought it would feel bleaker if I took these decorations down as well.
Have you ever signed so many papers in your life than when you buy a home?
No. And some of them, they're repeats. The title agent will just say to you, you've already signed this, just sign it again. And so it's good. It's good. That's why you need an attorney to make sure that she's gone through all the papers, or he has, so that you know you're signing something that's legit. Could I tell you, I thought of you this weekend because
I hope in a good way.
Yeah. Because you're a dad and you love to go to your kids' games. And I know your kids have really missed playing games, and I know parts of Long Island have reopened, but I thought of you because my best friend, who lives in Georgia, north of Atlanta, her son actually had a game on Sunday, a doubleheader. So now they have all kinds of crazy rules, like not crazy, I'm sorry, all kinds of health and safety protocols, like, and they can't spit and they can't do sunflower seeds and all this stuff. But they were playing, and she sent me a video of her older son who had a bases clearing triple, and she was all excited. And there were a few people cheering. So they're allowed to like be there. And she was up at the fence taking the video. And I thought of you, and I wondered whether or not your kids have had any type of movement on the sports front.
There's been nothing from an organized standpoint. We've been to the Little League field a handful of times, meeting another family, staying, you know, socially distant and just hitting the ball around the field. But there's been no word from our little league in our town about any kind of resumption of play. There's been some talk that the travel team at some point during the summer could play a tournament. But I would imagine Jared, is, my younger son, plays little league. I imagine the next time he'd be on a little league field would be when fall ball starts in September.
Okay.
So I don't know what's going to happen during the summer, but there's been, you know, both of my kids have activities that are scheduled for the summer.
Okay.
But we have not been told anything yet, which is kind of disappointing, you know. So we'll see what happens. There's still some time.
All right. Well, I'm definitely thinking about you. And I was,
thank you.
There are like friends who have kids in different parts of the country where they've gone back. And I know we're seeing various reopenings in different phases around the country. And so I'm hoping.
I just want to get a haircut.
Well, I would love to see your hair right now. Do you have like puffs sticking out all over the place?
No, it was not as, you know, a few weeks ago, my wife gave me a haircut in front of the house because it got so, we
in
were
front
driving.
Of the house.
In front of the house because they didn't want the hair all over the kitchen or whatever. So we went outside. We were out that day with the kids. We went to go pick up lunch somewhere and find like an isolated location to eat out. And we're driving home and she's looking at whatever hair I have left sticking, you know, in a funny way out of my baseball cap. And she's like, "That's ridiculous." We stopped off somewhere and she got, you know, she had like a, you know, a hair cutter, an electric hair cutter. And when we got home, she gave me a trim. The kids were scared. You know what? They walked out. They like, "We want no part of this."
Yes.
And I said, "I have all the faith in Cheryl because, you know, she could basically do anything." So I let her cut my hair. I thought she did a really good job. So I'm hoping in the next couple of weeks when Long Island hits the next phase and the haircut places open up, I can go get a haircut. But if not, then I have no problem with Cheryl giving me another trim in a couple of weeks.
All right. Well, that's impressive. Mine is just mine's growing like the dandelions that grow 8 inches in 6 hours. So it's just it's long and it's a weed, but it's fine. It's part of my charm, you know, especially on the radio where no one can see it. So it's good to hear your voice, and I'm glad that you're doing well. And we'll connect again. It's anything else, Pete? As you take a big deep breath, I'm like, oh, he's gonna. Would you have something else?
No.
Oh, okay.
I was just saying it was good to talk to you too. That's
okay,
it.
Okay, good. It's hard when I can't see you. I have to like judge by the breaths that you take.
So, I'm not wearing a super big gulp outfit or anything like that. No, you know.
It's after hours here.
I've got no marshmallows in front of me.
That's a bummer. I missed that. We need to do that again. I don't know if we could do it remotely. It'd be weird.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Blake Snell was your choice for the After Hours Hall of Fame induction we held on Thursday night into Friday morning, and lots of you voted, and he was an overwhelming choice. Beat out Peyton Manning. Who else was there? Peyton Manning from the match getting mic'd up about the Georgia colors. Oh, Earl Thomas, stuff like this happens, bro. And then Dana White, who just in general needs to get bleeped out in every single press conference. So we had some good competition, but Blake Snell, you let us know how you felt about his Twitch rant, and he is now inducted into the After Hours Hall of Flame. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It's sponsored by Geico. Geico has introduced the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that last your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. 855-212-4227. What do you think of this latest counter proposal by Major League Baseball players that goes the opposite direction from the owners? So it's not as though the counter proposal takes a step toward the owners, finds some common ground. Nope. It goes the other direction. And this is a report from multiple sources, so we believe that at least the pieces are accurate. Who knows, you know, whether or not all these pieces have been proposed to the owners, or whether or not the owners have had a conference call to talk about it, blah, blah, blah. We don't exactly know where they are in the negotiation process, only that this particular proposal by the union is the union's answer to what we've heard from the owners. Other parts of the players' proposal, according to sources, expanded playoffs for 2 years. So right now the owners have suggested a one-year trial basis for expanded playoffs. Remember, we talked about this months ago. Gosh, months ago, before it was 2020, where the postseason would go from 10 teams to 14. But baseball owners were thinking, okay, let's try this 1 year and see what happens. The players actually want the expanded postseason for 2 years at least. And that's, kind of an obvious reason, obvious explanation that they want more teams to be involved in the playoffs because it means more money and more opportunities. The players also want the owners to fork over $100 million as a salary advance when they restart spring training. So they want that $100 million to be split up as a salary advance among all players that can cover expenses and travel and everything else to get them back to spring training or to get them to their own markets where they would then get ready to play the season. $100 million to be split among all players as a salary advance. That was a new one. Very creative. I hadn't heard of that before. The players are saying, hey, you know what? As part of these broadcasts on TV of our games that would not have fans in the stands, we will wear microphones on the field. We will allow other pieces, more invasive type of elements to the broadcast. So maybe there's, mics in the dugouts. I'm just kind of arbitrarily making up something. But the players are saying if there are going to be no fans in the stands, we want this to be entertaining for the viewers. Presumably there would be games that would be really entertaining. But we want there to be other elements that would keep the viewers connected. And so we will agree to wear mics on the field. And I mean, I guess that's interesting. They do it during the All-Star game and they do it now and then. They'll do broadcasts with a player or an interview with the player while he's on the field in the postseason. Remember, Bryce Harper has done a couple of those with Joe Buck. I don't know that I need it every game, but maybe that's a supplement when there are no fans. And then also, players are saying that we'll hold some extra events, an All-Star game, a home run derby that we'd be missing out on this season, but we'll do it as a charity event to kind of generate some additional revenue and to help out the owners. Isn't that nice? So 114 games as opposed to 82 games, deferred salaries, meaning you don't have to pay them if there's no postseason. Yet again, I keep coming back to the duh. Why would you get paid if you don't actually play? That to me makes no sense, but I know sometimes it's hard to identify and relate to those of us who are just average Joe and Jan American. Let's see. And then if they are high risk, they could opt out of the season and still get paid. Now, here's another piece of it that I didn't mention. If players who are not high risk want to opt out, they would not get paid, but they would also not get cut. Okay, so if there are players out there like a Blake Snell who is not high risk but doesn't want to, as he says, risk his life to play baseball, he could opt out, but he wouldn't get paid. So high risk athletes could opt out and still get paid. If you're not high risk, you could forego the season. You wouldn't get cut, but you also wouldn't get paid. So there's pieces of this that are clearly meant to dig, get under the owner's skin, meant to dig the owners, and other pieces of this where I think they're just kind of starting points and they're hoping the owners will take steps toward them. It still smacks of greediness. It does. And it still smacks of being tone deaf in the world that we're in. I know this is how negotiations go, the ebbs and flows, the back and forth. But it still feels like they're so far apart, I can't imagine a deal getting done. Now, deadlines spur desperation. Deadlines create desperation and spur action. So we'll see whether or not this works in the days to come. Mark Topkin covers the Rays and Major League Baseball for the Tampa Bay Times. We'll have him on the show coming up following the break.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.